Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have been examining that great gospel text in 1 Peter 3:18, which says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." So far, we've looked at five major emphases in this text, and today we take up the sixth and the final one. And on our way to doing that, let me quickly review what we have seen so far. Number one, what was the purpose that Peter had in view? And the purpose was to link the sufferings of Christians to the sufferings of Christ, a very helpful way to understand our suffering and to have a proper perspective concerning it. Number two, we have seen the reality that must be addressed, namely sins. Christ died for our sins, and sin, the sinfulness of man, is an integral part of the gospel that must not be lost, it must not be minimized. Third, we saw the substitution that is required, namely the just for the unjust. That's what Christ was doing, and that's the heart of the gospel. The just one dying in the place of the unjust ones. Number four, the penalty that was satisfied. And that's wrapped up in two words. First of all, the word suffered, and secondly, the word put to death. This is the penalty that was required for Christ to bear the judgment that was due unto our sins. He had to suffer the suffering that we deserve to suffer. He had to die the death that we deserve to die. Number five, the accomplishment that was certified. And we read, once made alive, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And that's the accomplishment that was certified in Christ's death upon the cross. He was made alive, and his resurrection certified that the Father received his death upon the cross as full and sufficient atonement for the sins of his people. And that brings us now to number six, the reconciliation that was accomplished. And we take that up on this Wednesday, February 26, as we gather around the Word of God once again, reminding you that we do depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners in order to continue on this station. The reconciliation that was accomplished, and again I read the text, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." This is the reversal of sin's alienation, that he might bring us to God. The doctrinal term for this is reconciliation, and we need to understand this if we're going to understand the gospel. It was sin that separated us from God, and so now our great need is to be reconciled to God. As long as we are alienated, and that's a more technical term, a more theological term than separated, as long as we are alienated from God, separated from him, cut off from him, not in proper relationship with him, then we are headed for eternal destruction. We are headed for damnation. We have already experienced spiritual death, and we are headed for eternal death. And there's only one thing that can reverse that, and that is for this alienation to be reversed, for it to be turned around. Alienation has to be turned into reconciliation, but the problem is we're not able to accomplish that. That always is what we come back to when we're looking at the need for Christ and His work and understanding the gospel, is that man is unable to accomplish his own salvation in any aspect. We're not able to earn the righteousness that is required. We're not able to bear the judgment that is due unto our sins without eternal destruction. We are unable to bring ourselves back into right relationship with God. We can't do that. Now, sinners often fancy that they can. They believe that they are perfectly capable of earning the righteousness which God has required and of bringing themselves into a right relationship with God. Sinners often don't even consider themselves to be an alienation toward God. Many sinners, are quite surprised when you tell them that in your present condition, you are an enemy of God. I am not. Yes, you are. I am not. I don't have anything against Him. I may not be a follower of Jesus Christ at this point, but I'm not an enemy of God. I'm not doing anything against Him. I'm not opposing Him. I'm not warring against Him. I'm not opposing the church. I'm not doing anything against the gospel. I'm not an enemy of God. Oh, yes, you are. Every time you sin, you are reaffirming your status as a rebel against the rightful rule of God in your life, and you are further driving a wedge of alienation between you and God. And what you need is a mediator that can reconcile you to God. You see, it is through sin that we were estranged. That's another word. Estranged from God, alienated from God, distanced from God, ignorant of God's character and of God's holy will, as He has revealed it to us in His Word and in His Son. We were at enmity with God. We had no favorable relationship with Him. We had no fellowship with Him. That's our alienation. But through Christ, we are reconciled. One object lesson of this is the temple veil. Under the Old Covenant, there was that thick veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, and it kept everybody out of the Holy of Holies, which was the place where God dwelt, in a manner of speaking. Obviously, He didn't dwell there exclusively, but He placed His presence there in a special way, in that Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the mercy seat was. That's where God was. That's where God's Shekinah glory was manifested. Everybody knew that that was the place where God's special presence was, but nobody had access to that presence. Why? Because of sin. One day a year, one man alone, the high priest, with one requirement, namely the blood of the sacrifice, was allowed to go behind that veil and sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat as an atonement for the sins of the nation, to cover those sins one more year. And that was the only time that a human being was allowed into such near proximity to God, allowed into the presence of God. That veil was a stark reminder of the alienation, the estrangement that separates sinful men from a holy God. But when Christ died upon the cross, what happened to that veil in the temple? It was torn in two from top to bottom, a divine act. It was rent. This thick veil, I'm told, was something like a foot thick. Though it was cloth, it was just layer upon layer of cloth until it was more substantial than most walls. This thick, thick veil, this heavy, heavy veil. And when Christ died upon the cross, wham, that thing was torn in two. Why, I doubt that you could tear it apart by pulling it with tractors. But it was torn in two by the power of God to demonstrate that now that Christ has made reconciliation for sinful men, now sinners who trust in Him have access into the very presence of God. In other words, the estrangement is over. The alienation is over. The enmity is over. Reconciliation has been accomplished. Through Christ we are reconciled. Christ, through His righteous life and vicarious death, brought us into the favorable presence of God. Christ brought believing sinners out of hostile enemy territory into the presence of the thrice holy God and introduced us to the King that we had offended, the King with whom we were at enmity, the King that we were alienated from, that we were estranged from. Christ is the mediator who, by His own sacrifice on the cross, as it were, reached out and took the hand of His Father and took the hand of the believing sinner for whom He had died and brought them together and effected this reconciliation. Christ did that. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. The removal of sin's demarcation is what was necessary to reconcile sinners to God. It was only when He was put to death in the flesh, as the substitutionary sacrifice in the place of sinners, going back to previous emphases in this text that we've already covered, when that happened, then reconciliation occurred, and those who formerly were enemies now became God's friends. Only a couple of people in the Old Testament are called friends of God. Abraham was one of them, and I forget who the other one was. Was it Enoch, who walked with God, who was called a friend of God? I've forgotten who the other one was. But under the New Covenant, Jesus said to all of His apostles, and by extension, all followers of Jesus Christ, that you are no more servants, but friends. The alienation is over. The separation is over. The demarcation is over. We have been brought not only into the presence of God, but into an entirely new relationship with Him. We are His sons. We are His children. We are His friends of the Most High God. That is the accomplishment of Christ's work upon the cross. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.